Let's jump on in here. Let's just take this thing and go with it. I'm talking about O Canada. And so, first of all, know this. Trump did something the other day that really got, I mean, Trudeau actually flew down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with him and try to talk this thing through because it worried him so much, because he knows that Trump will do it. But Trump literally said that on day one, in fact, I've got it right here. Hang on a second. He went out on Truth Social, his social media platform. Donald Trump did on November 25th. He said this. He said, thousands of people are pouring through Mexico and Canada, bringing crime and drugs at levels never seen before. And right now, a caravan coming from Mexico composed of thousands of people seems to be unstoppable in its quest to come through our currently open border. On January 20th, as one of my first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States and its ridiculous open borders. Y'all, that would be massive. And it also, by the way, has the Canadians really worried because they've done next to nothing to help the border situation. Trudeau is a socialist, and he's also a weak on crime, feckless kind of leader. And I believe he's a globalist. And the truth is, he has not been a friend of the United States. He'll try to be sweet talking. He'll try to be coy. What he reminds you of is kind of an effeminate version of Gavin Newsom. That's what he reminds me of.
That's a great comparison, yep.
An effeminate version of Gavin Newsom. I just coined that. You're welcome to use it. So let's picture this. 25% tariff. What does that mean? Well, just so you know, the United States is, of course, the world's largest economy. 14% of our international trade is with Canada. 14%. It's the number two in terms of our trading partners. So we've got Mexico, which, believe it or not, is first at 16%. And then you've got Canada at 14%, and then China at 11%. Those are our three biggest trading partners. 14%. This equates to, I believe it is, I think I quoted it earlier, something in the neighborhood of almost $1 trillion annually between the two countries. Well, 25% of $1 trillion. Well, I take it back. It was only going to be on the imports, and we import roughly $480 billion from them. So you can imagine then we're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of tariffs that equate to $125 billion ish, give or take a billion. That's massive. And they're freaking out over it. So as tariffs are looming, U.S. News and World Report says, which countries are on the chopping block? Well, the top three countries that make up a combined 40% of our overall trade are all three facing tariffs. Trump promised to impose a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada and 10% on China. Okay. And the freak out north of the border began. Well, we've just had a massive shift in global, but in Canadian politics that is unhinging the Trudeau government. Now, their government's not set up the same as ours. They are a democracy, but they are not set up in the way that we are. They run on a parliament. They're much like France. They run on a parliamentary system, and they have to have coalition governments, and they wind up working with this party and that party to garner together support to pick, you know, one to be in, and then who has the majority. Well, right now, believe it or not, conservatives have been advancing in the parliament to the extent that if somebody held a snap election today, which is what it's called, conservatives are likely to win. But think about the things that they've endured in Canada over recent years. Trudeau's been in office for 9 years. This has been Barack Obama and Joe Biden mixed with like Macron from France all rolled together. And the Canadian people have had it. And he is facing right now something like 80% of the population is disenfranchised with his leadership. And he may have to resign. And this could be a huge shakeup right north of our border. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to give you more details, and then I'll start telling you some of the things that we're looking at, how this plays out worldwide. And, oh, by the way, what's going to happen? And can Trudeau resign? And if he does, how does the U.S. fare with that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, in response to John from Huntsville, Chef Ben just tweeted in. I'm looking at it. Monday's meatloaf is Tuesday's tacos. He says, great idea. A little garlic, a little salt, presto, add your favorite condiments, go to town.
It sounds really good. I can't lie. Meatloaf tacos sounds really good. So I have to merge in two of my favorite foods into one. How can it be bad?
You know what? Mash it. Go ahead and mash it. And Brad from Limestone County says, meatloaf tacos are not the norm? To quote the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court and later U.S. Senator Howard Heflin, he says, we're going to have to do something about that. Oh, what an audience. All right, let's talk about Canada again for a few more minutes. So let's talk about some of what they've been enduring. So first of all, Trudeau came out in the last year and pledged to fix what he called a housing crisis and invested billions and billions of Canadian dollars into building millions of homes, which, by the way, smacks a lot of the plan that Kamala Harris floated during her campaign. Remember that? She was going to build 3.2 million houses. The government will do it. Well, you know what? The Canadian government said it would do it under Trudeau, and it turned into a complete debacle. In fact, nobody's gotten a new house out of the billions he spent. Where'd the money go? And then they've got rising inflation that is just sucking the life out of people. On my Twitter, by the way, at Sinfield Williams, on my Twitter, I posted a speech by a guy we're going to hear another piece from in a minute, the conservative leader in Canada, whose name is, I'm not sure, Pierre Poilievre, I think is what it's pronounced, but I'm not positive.
That's good enough.
Okay. But he pointed out that he is meeting people constantly who are having to get second and even third jobs just to pay their normal bills because nobody can afford life in Canada anymore. And he told this heart-wrenching story of a woman who just wanted a house, but she can't. And so she's paying through the nose to rent, and she knows she'll never get ahead under current, you know, regime. Well, all right, there's that. Then remember what happened a couple years ago? The most draconian lockdown restrictions during COVID in the world. It was the Canadian government was arresting pastors out of their churches. The Canadian government was forcing people into quarantines and was mandating that civilian sector jobs require vaccinations. So much so that you remember the Freedom Convoy? Do you remember this? So 2 years ago this month, in fact, 2 years ago this week, a thing called the Freedom Convoy hit Ottawa and rolled into the Capitol, blaring their horns. Hundreds of you know, big rig truckers decided to block off governance, and it became known as the Freedom Convoy. And they set up shop. They were blocking the roads. They circled the Capitol buildings. They just sat out there and camped out and had barbecues. And the Canadian government cracked down like hard. I'm talking about wow hard. But it was just a symbol that Canadians were fed up with their government. So as they're out there, the Canadian government under Trudeau decided to take draconian measures again. They invoked the Emergency Powers Act, and they began freezing all the truckers' personal bank accounts, driving people into bankruptcy, forcing them off the streets, arresting them in massive operations. There were mayors who began taking advantage of the opportunity to pass things like no horn-honking rules. And I saw one particular, I did a monologue on this, about a neat older gentleman who was like in his 80s, who honked his horn and waved at the convoy, and he was arrested and taken away in handcuffs. The whole thing just began to get so out of control. And then you got the northern border. Right now, just this year, in Canada, 19,000 people have been arrested trying to cross the border illegally. Now, that doesn't sound like anything when you compare it to the millions that come across the southern border, but it's actually more than the previous 13 years combined. It's out of control. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and their Border Patrol are really taken aback by it, and they're getting no help. In fact, they also say they have detained 358 suspects on the terror watch list at the northern ports of entry to Canada. This is the Canada that didn't used to be there. This is the candidate of Justin Trudeau. So what's happening right now is that Trudeau flew down here to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Please, please, please don't do a tariff. Please, I'll be nice. We can do nice things together. It's going to be nice. It was like, you know, kibbles and bits. Well, Trump made a crack that most Canadians would rather be a 51st state than to live the way they are right now. And apparently that took some kind of, I don't know, it just basically sucked the wind out of Trudeau's visit to the point that Trump is still using it on social media. If you haven't seen it, he keeps referring to Trudeau as Governor Trudeau. It's like the most epic troll ever, Governor Trudeau of the 51st state of Canada. But you're looking at right now a nation that has seen a spike in illegal immigration, rising crime, unanswered church burnings, housing crisis, coercive medicine, and state-facilitated suicide is now one of the leading causes of death. It's a mess. And we're about to see Trudeau step down. I hope. More on this. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day. And I'm finishing up this topic on O Canada. And I got a couple of text messages. One, John from Harvest has texted in. He says, I love that Trump is trolling Trudeau by calling him governor, but I really don't want two more senators from Canada. Man's got a point. James from St. Clair says, Canada also passed even worse gun-grabbing laws last week. I had not seen that, okay? Gun-grabbing laws last week, so I honestly don't know what the people up there have left in the cabinet at this point. Yeah, I mean, can't get food on the table, can't pay the rent, can't own a gun. But assisted suicide is there for you.
But also, too, they have the carbon tax, which is like one of the most authoritarian and crazy, crazy things I've ever heard of. You know, I don't know the specifics on like how much or whatever, but the fact they even have a carbon tax is just crazy to me. But yet Trudeau will go fly around on his private jet everywhere, anywhere he wants. The rules don't apply to him. It just applies to, you know, people trying
to pay
their bills.
That's the way it always is with liberals.
Yeah.
It's always what's best for, you know, me, but not for thee kind of thing. And then Brian from Decatur's texted in and says, think of all the money to be brought to the Canadian economy if all these left-leaning liberal communist actors and actresses from Hollywood would just finally move there like they said they would. That would be fantastic. Said, talk about resolving two issues at the same time, one for us and the economic one for them. Nice. Listen, so Pierre, say it again for me.
Poilievre.
Pierre Poilievre. Canadian conservative leader, potentially in line to be the next prime minister. And I'll talk about momentarily how that works. But I've posted a couple of audio video clips of him on my social media at Sin Phil Williams on X. But I'm going to play one of them for you here right now. You good with that one? You ready? This is Canadian conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. Am I saying that right? I why can't I get that right?
Oh, no, you got it right there.
Hey, Pierre Poilievre just yesterday. Go ahead.
Ethel Moussa with CBC News. And Mr. Poilievre, if you could also answer this question in French as well as English. The government is coming out with a $1.3 billion plan to address border security. Do you think that's enough to stop Trump's tariffs? And if it was up to you, how much specifically would you spend on border security? What number would you put on it?
Well, you ask a classically CBC question, which is how much money can you spend on a problem? Well, that's the wrong question. That's exactly the question Trudeau has been asking for 9 years. It's the reason he's doubled our debt while making everything worse. You know, for example, he spent $80 billion on housing affordability. Well, how'd that work? He doubled housing costs. He spent $60 million on his gun confiscation. Zero guns. He spent millions on a school food program that hasn't served a single solitary meal. So we should not judge a program based on how expensive we can make it. We should judge it by what it can do. How many helicopters? How many drones? How many boots on the ground? That's the question I will be asking when I'm prime minister. And how do we deliver it for the lowest possible price to taxpayers? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a prime minister who said, we secured the borders, we put more boots on the ground, we stopped tons and tons of fentanyl from traveling back and forth. We arrested the terrorists. We shut down the organized crime. We reduced gun crime. And by the way, we did it with less tax dollars. That's how our mentality has to change. We have to stop judging politicians by how expensive they can make things and start judging them by the results they get. You went into a restaurant and had a terrible experience. The food was awful. You got food poisoning. The service was bad. You wouldn't walk out and say, but it was great because it cost me $1,000. And because it's the most expensive restaurant around, it must be the best. No, we judge the meal by the food on the plate and the service that delivered it. That's how I'm going to run a common sense conservative government. Next.
Wow. Wow. Can I have some applause on that? I think that deserves applause. Just that's the kind of thing you want to hear more of. And that's, by the way, that's the way he is all the time. That's not a one-off. That's not like posturing for the moment because he has a chance to be prime minister. That's the way he is all the time. And so Pierre Poilievre, by the way, one of my favorite, you've seen it, we talked about it. One of my favorite moments is where he's standing there eating an apple, which if you've ever watched somebody eat an apple and they eat it loud on purpose, it can be really obnoxious. And he knew it. So he had a liberal media guy asking him questions, and he's standing there eating an apple, and the guy's saying, but sir, people are saying this. And he just takes a bite and goes, what people? Well, but some people are actually saying that they think this, what things? And he kept wearing the guy didn't know what to do with him.
Sir, people are comparing you to Trump and his policies. What policies?
So what's going to happen? All right. So here's what happened this week. One of the cabinet members that is most loyal and has been there for the longest for Trudeau is a finance minister by the name of Chrystia Freeland. And she very publicly resigned, and she sent an open letter that was scathing, telling him, for the last number of weeks, you and I have found ourselves at odds over the best path forward for Canada. And she said, we've got to get ready for the Trump tariffs, and all you're doing is spending money. And so basically she resigned. So this is a person who has been a Trudeau loyalist who just left his cabinet, and she received a standing ovation when she walked back into Parliament, because she's a member of Parliament also, when she walked back into Parliament. In other words, people love the fact that she did that. 45 members of Parliament have now signed a letter demanding Trudeau step down. That's up from 24. Now, the way they work this in Canada is if a majority of Parliament, I think a two-thirds, if a majority of Parliament votes no confidence, then he is forced out. Well, he's never had to deal with that because he had one of the other Liberal parties that would usually sort of caucus with them and make sure it didn't get there. He's losing that other Liberal Party now. And so the real sense is their coalition system of government in Canada could move for a vote of no confidence at any given time if they think they've got the votes. I mean, he's got 20% of the parliament is now saying, please step down. And so if he reaches a point where they vote the no confidence, he will have to step down. If he sees it coming, he almost has to step down, but at that point, he would have to call for what's called a snap election. Well, the Conservatives have gained a majority in Parliament. If he calls for a snap election, the guy you just heard a moment ago, Pierre Poilievre, is going to wind up being the prime minister. And that's a whole new day, y'all. And there are those, I got a piece right here from Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. The sense is by pundits who are watching this, and by the way, it's Germany too, but Canada is who I'm talking about, that this is actually potentially going to happen in the next few days. Now, he actually has a break, and what I thought was rather interesting was that if you read this particular article that I have here from New York Post, it says that Justin Trudeau has lost control of everything. But, and I find this just indicative of Justin Trudeau. Because they're on vacation, they're on Christmas break right now, the parliament, technically he can wait a little bit. And it said, political allies of the beleaguered prime minister are saying that Trudeau needs some time for self-reflection. Let me just go ahead and point out that beta males are the ones who hold office and say, I need time for personal reflection. All right? Take your personal reflection. But you don't announce it to the world that way if you're the leader of one of the greatest economies in the West. You just don't do that. But then again, like I said, Trudeau has been a girly man from day one, and it's been sad to watch Canada go the way it has. All right, I want Canada back.
Yeah, and also I would just say don't expect Trudeau to be considerate of time and energy and stepping down on his own accord. It reminds me of, you know, what the South Korean leader did. I don't expect Trudeau to declare martial law, but I'm just comparing it in the sense of he would resign as a last resort. Like, he will probably try to find any measure to stay in power before he does that. So,
well, he's done any measure he could to exert power. We know that over the last 9 years. He's become one of those smile at your face, stab you in the back guys.
He's great at that. Yeah. Slimy politician.
Slimy, and then he'll rush out to a microphone and try to pretend that things are fine and talk in this kind of sweet voice when he does about why things are okay. Chris from Priceville says, if he's forced out, he'll be on The View to replace Whoopi. American liberals love him. Mike from Coxie says, Trump would give him a nickname. Should give him a nickname, Pierre Polar Bear.
That works.
I can see it.
Yeah.
That works for me. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to come back and change topics. Going to talk about drones, y'all. Drones. What in God's name? Drones. Come on. Does anybody know what's happening? Apparently, our U.S. government does not. We'll be right back.